Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Gotta patch. Drag is the new
spandex. What's going on, everybody? Pat DeBeer here, and we are back. That theme song can mean one thing and one thing only. It is time for Drag Race content. I know there are some of you out there that are very excited right now. I mean, you saw the title of the episode, so you knew what you were getting into, but even more excited now. I'm being joined by my drag-loving compatriots. We have got, representing the West Coast, Brian.
Hello.
And representing the East Coast, we've got Eric.
Hey, girl, hey.
And I am representing the Midwest.
Isn't it called the North Coast, or is that a different place?
The North Coast.
Yeah, I think it's a Michigan thing, so maybe it is a little too. You're a little south, but anyway.
I don't know what that is. I've never heard that before. I've heard of the Upper Peninsula when talking about Michigan, but yeah. I'm a transplant, so who knows? Who knows?
You're a plant?
I am. I'm a hibiscus. Colorful and not safe to eat.
Well,
I don't know. I'm not a plant.
Don't put that out there. Jeez.
I mean,
keep the cannibals away.
Yeah. Anywho, let's move on. All right. So we are here to talk drag, specifically Drag Race, and more specifically Drag Race season 16. But before we dive into that, I realized that we started a UK season 5 episode or series recap. We did a halfway point and never finished it. And, you know, things happen. It was towards the end of the year. Life gets in the way. So we want to take a couple of minutes, just a quick high-level, highbrow overview of some thoughts from UK season 5. And I know Brian has not gotten familiarized with the new UK versus the World season 2.
I did watch the first episode, and it was yes. And yeah, no, I'm not.
it was a series on WoW Presents Plus.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll throw out some little things that maybe excited us from it. And if you, dear listeners, want to hear us talk more about UK versus the World season 2, series 2, then pester us about it. Maybe we'll record some more content and see what happens. So real quick, I think we had gone through to around Snatch Game time just before. There was the Hotline Makeover, which was heartwarming. The Dragiator's Roast, which I thought was the oddest combination of a promotion for a show coming back to the BBC. The finale, the melodrama-rama, and crowning a winner. Any thoughts on the second half of the season or our newly crowned UK winner?
Kate Butch beat Dee Dee-licious in that lip sync and should have been should have been there for the roast episode. She wasn't going to win the series, but Yeah.
They were scared of her. They were scared of the power she held in that roast. Oh, I'm sorry, Eric. Yeah, no, you go.
Other than that, Ginger Johnson is great. She's fantastic. And she is definitely deserving of the win. But I honestly thought it was going to go to Michael Maruli. Michael was great, and I thought they were fantastic in the finale. Plus, kind of last year, if you look back at season 4, when the finale was last lip sync was between Danny Beard and Cheddar Gorgeous, this was kind of mirrored, where it was kind of more comedy queen and then kind of a more conceptual older queen. And with it going to Danny Beard last time, I kind of thought wouldn't want to necessarily repeat that the same. And so I kind of thought that that was going to go to Michael. But like I said, Ginger's great too, and definitely deserving of the win. But it just looked like coming into the finale, Michael had more momentum. And
I think they manufactured that, because they were like in the roast when they were like, Ginger, you are amazing. I pissed myself literally at your jokes. But Michael threw his cards away. And so we give the win to Michael Maruli. Like, that's what I felt it was. They were like, we want to make this narrative be that they are so close that you don't know. And I absolutely agree with your take on it mirrored a lot of Series 4. But I felt the opposite, that Ginger Johnson was the win that Cheddar Gorgeous never got. Like, it just
that is, kind of that felt is, like that. Like, I mean, yeah. Well, season 4, I would have given it to Ginger or Cheddar over Danny, but
yeah, all of them being very talented queens, all deserving of the win. I am not a proponent of ties in a competition format like this. So any of the final two contestants on either series, I felt would have been deserving and fitting winners for what we were presented on the show.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, that wraps up UK season 5. any quick, maybe tidbits to throw out there to the listeners on your thoughts on UK versus the World 2, to see if they want us to talk more about it in depth?
Marina's probably going to win, unless she somehow gets... oh, shoot, what's her name?
Manila'd.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see that. Tia's having a great showing for the most part. Like, I think they're paying her a lot more compliments than maybe she deserves. Not to say that she doesn't deserve tons of accolades, because she has really elevated herself from her season. But Marina is honestly my choice to win. She is phenomenal. And I will just say this, one of the things that made me cackle were all the memes that came out of the first episode lip sync. So, Brian, we're not spoiling anything, because you saw this episode. La Grande Dame versus Marina Summers, where La Grande Dame is like 14 feet tall and Marina Summers is 2 foot tall. Them standing next to each other. And it's happened a couple of times on, like, not with those two necessarily, but there has been that height disparity in the lip sync for the top two a few times, and it tickles me each time it happens. But there are some good moments. We'll see what the rest of the series has to offer. But if you want to hear us talk more about it, pester us. Pester Eric more so than me. I always get the messages. Send Eric messages. Tell him you want him to talk about Drag Race. But if we get if there's a lot of support for us doing more about UK versus the world, you know, we've succumbed to peer pressure before. Just saying. All right. UK is out of the way. We're not even going to talk about Michelle Visage taking over Drag Race Down Under. We're not going to talk about RuPaul's book tour. Let's dive into the Ruvolution. Oh, not the fracking. Not the fracking. Not the doomsday bunker that Georges and RuPaul are building on his 60,000 acre ranch. None of that. None of that here today. What we are going to talk about is the Ruvolution and season 16 of RuPaul's Drag Race here in the United States of America. And yeah, I don't want to do an episode by episode dive into what's going on. If you really want to have that, watch the Pit Stop. It's phenomenal again this season. I'm enjoying Trixie as the host. Most of the guests are entertaining. Most of them. But if you have not seen it already, they did what we will do. And essentially, a mid-season overview of season 16. Have you seen the one with James Mansfield? Do you watch The Pit Stop? Are you watching the season?
Yeah.
I've dipped in occasionally. I saw the one with Maddie, Miss Morphosis. Oh, that one was epic. But and I think I watched the first. Who was the first one? I think I watched that one, too. But, yeah.
Oh, I forgot. The only one that I remember, guess-wise, was Bibi Zahara-Benet, because that was painfully, painfully hard to watch. Not that I have anything against Bibi Zahara-Benet, but she's just not, she doesn't give into kind of the comedy of what the Pit Stop needs. And it was just like Trixie would throw out a joke and she would just stop.
It's like, go on, girl, give us nothing.
Exactly.
Noonch.
Charlie, no. Move.
Do something, Charlie. Listen, she had a broken rib, or she had a hangnail. I don't know, something. There was something going on with her. She doesn't lip sync. 90% of the acts in the UK don't. No, I'm sorry. Let's talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of what has happened so far in season 16. Have you guys watched through the political Power Anthem episode?
I just watched it last night.
All right. I think it's a little more than halfway through the season, but we'll use that as our stopping point then. We'll talk about the episodes leading up to that and through that episode. And let's start with some not so great moments or things that you've found from the season. Brian, since you had a little less to talk about in the UK section, I'll throw it to you first for some maybe less than remarkable things from season 16 so far that you've noticed.
Well, let's see. I do historically like when Drag Race innovates, but I think when they gratuitously steal bits from other reality shows, a la Rate a Queen. Which I'm sure anyone who's watched Netflix, The Circle, immediately recognized. I know Pat did.
Circle, bring up my rankings.
Jesus God. So I mean,
it wasn't a circle; it was a triangle, completely different.
if they made them say triangle, bring up my ratings, I would have pissed myself. That would have been camp. Well, that would have been. Utterly camp.
Lean in on the satire of reality TV. That I think would be great. But don't just steal it and go, look what we've got now. And not like, I'm sure The Circle didn't invent it either. Honestly, it's probably another reality show out there we haven't seen or something that did it. It doesn't matter. It's just a little, oh yeah, that. So that was kind of not useless. I guess that's sort of their way to kind of, I don't know. I don't even know why they did that. Like what, other than giving the immunities out, like I don't know really what that accomplished. Do you know, like what did that change?
I mean, it changed in that the girls picked their own top two.
Sure,
for the talent shows.
Long term, structurally to the show, what does that do? That's that different, other than again, gives you the immunity, I guess. It just felt when they only did it for the two, and I'm glad they didn't do it more than that either. The three.
Well, they also did it for the ball.
That's right. Yeah. So I don't know
who was in the bottom for the ball.
I think it's just, it was an odd choice to just start it that way and then kind of back away from it. Anyway, that's just a thing for me. I was like, didn't care for that. I like that they get some new judges, but I do wish they kept, they go back to the well a lot. The last one, who's the choreographer? Travis Sims, is that his name?
Jamal. Don't be hating on Jamal Sims.
Jamal, sorry. That I didn't need, honestly. That one was like, I mean, he's fine. He's not bad. Like, he's great. And he actually, I should say, has substance as far as his critiques of the choreography, since he taught him it. But like, I would just like to see more new judges. And they got Sarah Michelle Gellar. That was great. You know, I forgot who else they got that was noteworthy. That fashion chick who looks like all the other waify white, slightly Hispanic girl singers. Like what was the model? She looked like Christina Rodrigo. With the big,
I forget her name, but it's Cindy Crawford's daughter.
Is that really? Oh, that makes sense.
I think so.
Of course it is. Anyway, so Nepo babies. Yay. I don't know. Overall, I'm not like hating on the series, but we're starting with negatives. I mean, so we're talking series or are we talking queens yet? Because I can hate on some queens, but I don't know if we're there yet.
I mean, I said,
girl.
I say, what are you not finding, you know, great about this season? Because I'm sure you are not so great will be me going, I don't mind it so much.
Oh God. So let's just put it out there. And I'm not saying they're the same. I'm not saying that they even stole the bit, because I know the way these things work isn't so linear and things are.
I was going to say yes, because I will refute that.
I know.
Wholeheartedly.
I won't even go there, but I will put my placard out for being not a fan of Plain Jane. I know that she's playing somewhat into her character. She's got a story, or she's got a character she's doing, or that's just, she's a cunt. I don't know what it is. I don't like her. I fall into the Willem camp in this case, and I would probably cut a bitch if I saw her. Not really, but you know, she is definitely going through this progression, and maybe that's sort of the intentions why I say it's probably a bit of an arc she's trying, where she starts out really, really bad, and then she softens, and then she's got this whatever. But she has elements of Jimbo. Maybe she didn't steal them. I'm not saying she stole them, but I'm just saying maybe she's influenced. Maybe she's got a slight appreciation for the same things that Jimbo does, which is fine. She is no Jimbo. I will just put that out there. She is not. And nor is she a Katya. Not that she really reminds me that much of Katya. And that they're both Russian or of Russian descent, and Sasha as well. Like, who cares? That's not, I don't see that being a strong element. But I don't like her. I just fundamentally don't like her. And again, I think that's somewhat by design. Other than that, I think all the queens have been pretty good. In fact, in the last episode, in The Work the World, whether this is an editing thing, even though I know they really tried to lean in on some drama that I doubt was really there, between Morphine and what was it? Who is the one instigating
Maya.
Oh, Maya. Oh, well, that. Yeah, that too. No, I'm talking about something else. But that was it. I think that wasn't really there. Maybe tarted up, whatever.
I think it was.
I think it is.
Right. It's hard. It's
they're
so hard
they're Miami girls, so that is a little more baked into that.
But I felt like it was playful at first, and then they edited it in such a way that made it got. But I mean, there was a reaction in the room of like, ooh, this is getting blah, blah, blah. So I don't know. Who knows? No, there was who was trying to talk Plain into. Oh, it was Dawn, of all people, who I love. Dawn, I'll just put it out.
Oh, Dawn's the villain. Dawn is the villain of the season. Dawn's the real villain of the season.
Villain of the season. There's.
That is the Twitter discourse. That is the sibling watchery discourse.
How is Dawn?
Dawn is the villain of the season.
Unless she's lovable,
but she is the villain.
I
because she is the one who's not saying as much to people's faces, but in the confessional, she's throwing all the shade.
She's still saying shit to people's faces. When she walked up to Nymphia and said, "Girl, honestly, I don't know how you weren't in the bottom. You didn't need to say that." Like, when Ms. Cracker says to Angina, like, I should have voted for you in All-Stars 5. Like, there are some things that you just keep to yourself. And it's just, it's funny. I'm not saying I dislike Dawn. I'm not Dawn's biggest fan. I can see her going home in the next couple episodes and not be sad about it. But she is low-key the villain of the season.
I don't see that, and I mean, I'm not saying it's not there. Maybe it's I have Dawn-colored glasses on, whatever. But either way, I don't like Jane. I'm sorry. I don't like Plain.
It's Plain.
Yeah, I know. Just another fucking stupid thing that drives me nuts. I just don't like her. I mean, that's just it. Like, I don't know. Willem said it more eloquently. I'll point you to Race Chasers. Just go listen to Willem. I just don't like her. I don't like
Plain. Somebody get the Race Chaser counter out. Yeah, we got to keep track.
But overall, I think the season's been really entertaining. I do like the different challenges. I do like some of the callback challenges, obviously.
We're not at the good parts yet. Stop. All right, fine.
That's what I don't like. I'm sure you'll remind me of other things I don't like, so I'll probably agree. But those are my big ones.
Eric, I'll throw it to you. What are some not so great parts of season 16?
The RDR live. That was, I mean, a copy of a copy is obviously going to be inferior, and it was just not good. The Barber skit was fine. It was the best of them.
Oh, I like that, yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, oof. I mean, not that they were using necessarily contracted writers that would have been involved in the Writers Guild strike, but
they definitely weren't at this time.
No. Let's see. I will say, it's not the first season to have this many design challenges, but it feels like they're kind of grouped closer together than in previous seasons. And let's see here. And I'm one who's hasn't been... Snatch Game's gotten some hate for a number of seasons. People have been tired of it, and I've been holding out hope that it'll get good again, and it's just not.
No.
You know what's weird? If going back and watching like some of these YouTubers, Drag Race YouTubers who do tier lists sometimes, or they'll talk about like the Snatch Games and rank them or whatever they want to do. Snatch Game has never been 100% a knockout of the park. The thing that happens is you get a handful of queens, a few, 3 to 5 maybe, depending on how many queens are on that cast or that, you know, at that point for the challenge, that are so incredibly good that it just, the edit almost has to not focus on the bad to showcase how good the people are that were that good. And then of course you're going to have, you know, your couple of people at the bottom three of the episode to really highlight why they're in the bottom.
The editing was weird, or like it felt like the game itself felt very short this time. And I don't know why. With them only doing 3 questions, I feel like in the past there's been more questions, which allows for more answers and just varied answers. And so I don't know, because they're still doing the longer episodes. So I don't know why they would have cut down so much on the edit.
Oh, for sure. Considering last season, it was during the shorter episodes and we got 2 Snatch Games because there were so many fucking queens.
Yeah.
It would have been nice to have a little bit more. And maybe it's because they want to highlight more stuff for each question. But yeah, it did feel a little short. I agree with you. And I'll say that.
Although I do appreciate when they have the pit crew as the contestants, they cut out the hole in the their little podium. So you get to see their Andrew Christian underwear.
the Pointer Sisters in their anti-Christian underwear. Yes, and I didn't the one JP. I forget the one pick. Remember, I don't know all that well, but I want to know him more. And then you had the fantastic Laith Ashley making history as the first trans pick, remember, a few seasons ago. But also coming off of being Taylor Swift's love interest in the Lavender Haze music video and gaining a lot of mainstream notoriety from being in that video. So it was nice to see Laith back on the television for Drag Race.
I will also echo Brian in that I do not care for Plain Jane either. Not she's making good TV, but that kind of TV I don't like. I don't need the drama from the girls. So I kind of understand. She did have a storyline in that, okay, I was raised to not really mince my words and be very direct in my speaking. And if that's the case, okay, I understand it. But I also feel like she's also kind of being harsh for harsh's sake and to be the TV villain.
She's not just being harsh, though. There's being blunt, and that's there a little bit. She's also being a weasel, and she's sort of instigating. And that's, like you said, Eric, it's good TV, but like asking leading questions, sort of like, I don't even remember a specific example, but you can almost see the Cheshire kind of cat grin on her face as she starts to speak. And in life, those people are not, I don't want to be around those people. So again, good TV, you want to have a villain, I guess you want to have two villains, but like not something I like. Not something I would want to like support. I understand Willem's comments about like, you know, other queens seeing her and kind of going, I don't know if I'd want to work with her. Now, I don't know if Willem saying that is kind of a playful whatever. I don't think so. Willem's not usually that. And Willem's a great example. Willem is a blunt person too, but I like her. I mean, not everybody likes her, but like I appreciate her more, you know, as a personality, because even if she's blunt, she's not. I'll say she's not stirring shit, but she's definitely not doing it in the way that Jane's doing it. Jane's doing it in almost a Machiavellian sort of like mustache twirling way, which again, good TV. So yes.
Now she's not. Willem has gone through a lot of iterations and a lot of changes that Plain Jane is at the beginning stages of from a TV standpoint.
So I
won't defend everything that Plain Jane has done. I don't mind Plain Jane. I'll say I like Plain Jane. She's super talented. She's really good at what she does.
Say she's not talented, and her drag is very well done. Although Burger Finger was trash.
But you know what? She knew what the queens are starting to understand, that the stupider your song is. RuPaul doesn't want a lip sync song to look at me. I'm from here. Mama Ru, I'm going to snatch the crown. Split.
It's just like the advice that Scarlett gave the girls on UK versus the World. Write a verse about stealing the crown. No one will see it coming.
Exactly. And, you know, so it was stupid enough to make RuPaul really laugh and get really great critiques. But anywho, for me, before I go into anything that I'm going to say for my own, we just want to thank you all for taking the time to listen to Flame On, joining us on our podcast adventures. We do this because of you. So we thank you so much for that. Check out our website, flameonshow.com, and you know, continue telling your friends. Give us a rating or a review. We'd appreciate it. Flameonshow.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, so overall, I think that there has been some weird judging on this season. There's always weird judging, but I think that at some points there are certain things that overall just feels weird. And not in the kind of rigged way, because that's just reality television or unscripted television. But there's just at times, honestly, it's felt like there anything could happen, like when Mirage got sent home. But when you have something like the TikTok version of Bloody Mary, and then you send Plasma home with two wins. Or Maya, who arguably did better in the lip sync, but arguably worse in the competition, goes home. And it's just like...
On this last episode with having the Meghan Trainor song, that was more a TikTok song than something that actually charted. And with them having a year turnaround on these filmings, they don't need to do the super... viral at the moment things, because it's going to be passe in a year. Like I'd never even heard the whole sped up Wednesday version of Bloody Mary, and I was like, what the hell is this?
I understand what you're saying, but being someone who is both ancient now and who still somewhat keeps up with TikTok only because it's people in my life sharing it with me, I think that even if it's not super relevant, it's going to be widely like heard and understood by people who are more plugged into younger culture. So even if it's like, that was a year ago, you'll clock that, but then you'll be like, oh yeah. And they know it, like it's in there. Like as much as we know stuff on the radio these days, whatever, like as much as we have our own sources for music and have, as we've grown up, like this younger generation, like if it's on TikTok and it's gone viral, like Bloody Mary sped up, they know that and they're going to love it. So, I mean, I appreciate them trying to appeal to younger audiences, but also, it kind of does have a bit of a dissonance when it's like a year old. But anyway, I don't mind that as much, but I do agree the judging has been wonky. Like Plasma should not have gone home. I mean, I know it's towards that point where any one little misstep, and that outfit was a misstep for Goth, but like she's obviously amazingly talented and a little bit too theater kid for me, but like overall just, she shouldn't have gone home so early.
Yeah. And then people are like, oh, well the lip sync is, you know, is the be all and end all. No, it's not. People like to delude themselves with thinking that this is a pageant style competition where you're being scored. And this, like now this is this point where whoever wins the lip sync is the one who stays. That has never been the case. We've seen people win the lip sync and go home on this season. You know, you could make a case for a mandatory reading to have stayed over Q in that lip sync.
Oh, well, I mean, she won it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she just had a blue beard painted on her face. So.
My God. But... yeah, she wasn't going to stay over Q. Q was going to stay, and you knew that. Yeah. So, yeah. But
throw one more little bit of shade. Q, you just reminded me.
Throw one more, and then we'll throw it to the fun side.
Q, I love her costuming, and I like her in general. I think she's one of, not my favorites, but definitely one I like. She's getting a little, the way they're editing her, she's getting a little too big for her britches, which suggests to, or she's a little too vocal about being disappointed she's not winning more. And they've done this now multiple times, which to me, as someone who likes to pay attention to the edit, suggests they're going to give her kind of a big comeuppance at some point soon. And I'm not thrilled about that, because I think overall she's probably a pretty nice like person and very genuine and all this. And they're just kind of using that, I think, but we'll see over time if that plays out.
I will cheer it if it happens.
What?
I am not a fan of Q. Talented. Supremely talented. Amazing theatrical costume designer. I cannot stand her.
She's awkward. No, she's got the awkward vibe for sure. Right. But
I think it's a lot of emotion for Save.
Oh, I know. No, totally. No.
A lot of emotion for Save.
She's the Rachel, like, as much as Plasma was kind of the theater kid, I think the Rachel Berry Award probably goes to Q in some ways, because just a little too, what's the Little Miss, not Little Miss Sunshine, what's the pageant girl movie?
Little Miss Sunshine.
Is that? There's another one I'm thinking of, though, that's like the Midwest pageants.
Oh, Drop Dead Gorgeous?
Yeah, it's a little like that. That really bitchy, upset, I can't believe I didn't win, that diva. Whatever that is.
Yeah. Anywho, we'll now move on to some of the highlights. Eric, I'll throw it to you first. What have been some of your highlights for season 16?
That we're all getting plenty of potassium, because I love me some Nymphia Wind. I'm voting yellow for sure. And I just saw, as someone who's not on TikTok as much, but gets all my TikToking comes through, Twitter, that gets shared. I saw one of, a gay going through all of her runway looks and like, oh, she really isn't as banana-y as everyone says she is, you know, kind of thing. But
true.
Yes,
but if I see another fucking banana, I'm all cry.
She's had two runways that have had bananas.
Three.
But she's used it in many other not runway looks. So she's gone back to that banana well.
Yeah. I mean, she's talked about banana and yellow every episode. But on the runway, she's definitely changing things up.
And her entrance look. And I think there's been three. I think with this most recent one, I think it might be three. Unless that video you saw counted the most recent banana one. But no, bitch has some stunning, stunning looks.
So much. Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah. And I love how it took the rest of the cast a while, but the fact that she's always pretending, oh, I've never done this before, except back in Thailand, I'm a professional.
I'm so nervous about Snatch Game. What they don't know is that I was on the Taiwanese Olympic Snatch Game team. My favorite meme. My favorite fucking meme. I love it.
And they love showcasing
while it's
when
more
she's
of a
upset. You know, when she's like, oh, I can't think of what I need to do. Oh, and they love showing when she does that. And obviously she is doing that, but it's also such a feint and such a, oh, come on, girl. Even if it's a little genuine, it's like, come on.
Although I do believe that a lot of time in the workroom, she is spending, like on those design challenges, she really doesn't know what she's doing in the workroom at that moment. Because after the first design look, I saw the girls come out and say, yeah, she did that in her hotel room overnight and brought it in and was like, what's going, like, so I see that she's just causing chaos in the workroom, and then she's making all her dresses at night in the hotel room.
She should be
the villain. People don't process.
Yeah.
She's not a villain. She is
She's just chaos.
She's the chaos agent. Or, as Eugene from The Try Guy says, the chaos Asian.
Yes. I've enjoyed the design challenges. I like design challenges in general. And Let's see here. I talked on.
Are we doing favorites in this too? Like, who's our favorite?
Well, we're gonna choose our top two at the end.
Okay.
Because I was gonna say something in my positives, and I was like, nope, that's gonna spoil.
I thought the Rusical was really strong this year.
I like that one a lot. Yeah.
I was a little disappointed in that they didn't get to record their own vocals.
Yeah.
It's always so weird to hear them lip syncing, it doesn't ring true. I'd rather them do the same.
I don't need them to be live vocals, but I think it's more effective if they just record their own vocals.
Yeah.
Because
if they're the ones doing the singing.
Because this wasn't one like, you know, on All Stars 2 where they're supposed to be these famous people and they're imitating famous voices, so they get somebody who can do those imitations. This is just random parts, you know. So I feel that's better. But maybe they needed all the extra time to rehearse. Maybe the girls needed the extra dance time. Who's to say?
I mean, at least they didn't make them write the verses for the musical and then choreograph it themselves. Fuck. Anyway, neither here nor there on that one. I did love the, Paint Your Wagon reference. The Goldwyn Mariah line. Mm-hmm. I know it's a completely like other random thing, but being a huge Mariah Carey fan and the fact that her name is from that song, and then they used Mariah instead of Maria for The Sound of Music, like the tying of They Call the Wind Mariah and How Do You Solve a Problem Like Maria, like that tickled me. I'm not a theater person, but it was a cute little nod there.
I didn't catch that at all, so that's nice they worked that in.
And I've just enjoyed all the mothering that Saphira has been doing.
She is mother.
Maybe except for building Maya's dress for her in the last design challenge.
True. I'll hop in real quick and say, since you mentioned Saphira, her fucking runways, first off, how did she pack that shit? How the fuck? How did they pack that shit?
She's saving room without packing all those shoes. She's just redressed. I mean, I'm totally stealing it again. This was from Race Chaser, but like, it's so true. Like, she didn't need.
Well, I know that it was said that the pumpkin was inflatable. It wasn't a solid piece.
Did she say that, or is the Race Chaser just run with that? Because it did not look inflatable.
I've heard it from more places than just Race Chaser.
Okay.
Yeah.
But still, and then that flower one, those fucking petals, and there were two more petals that broke.
Yeah.
That were not on the final look that hit that runway. That bitch.
And then the freaking hip thing on this most recent one on her.
Oh my God. So good. That bitch is just stunning. All right. Brian, what do you got?
I will cede my time so I can just not complain, but rave about the queens. Because I really, like, overall, like, the structure, whatever, the challenges are great. Yeah, sure, all that's fine. I the musical is great. I don't have anything to add, but I'll talk about the queens when we get to our top two.
All right, Mr. Speaker. I will say that, like Brian mentioned, Sarah Michelle Gellar, that was phenomenal. I love Sarah Michelle Gellar.
They should have done a Buffy thing, though, but I guess I understand why they didn't.
Yeah, you can't, because it's copyright, which is why, like, Night of a Thousand Chairs was all Getty Image. That's the worst part. Like, I get it. The Getty images are easier to clear than doing, other copyrighted images. Because you could just pay Getty for the licensing for it. Although, fucking... And I know Maya... I forget, was it Mistress on Sibling Watchery said that Maya's designer fucked her over. And basically last minute said that, I can't make this costume for you, which would have been the...
It was actually five costumes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Maya was at Roscoe's, I guess, last week. That was... She was talking about that, yeah.
Bussy Queen has a video and it talks about, there's some stuff about Maya in this one. I just haven't seen it. But which is why her look was the burlesque press tour, quote unquote. Anyway, but I did not know that I needed La Roche, or La Roche, as Rue was saying, on the judging panel. If they cycled La Roche into a rotating cast with T.S. Madison, Ross, and Carson, with it.
Please.
I would love it.
Yeah.
Saying that Geneva Carr had Danny DeVito legs, had RuPaul's body, the doll had RuPaul's body, and she had Danny DeVito legs. That bitch is savage, but accurate. Those pieces have been fantastic for me. I've enjoyed that they've given the judges, the guest judges, a little space to breathe, and they've had specific judges on specific episodes that match what they do to get better critiques and better sound bites than just having Vanessa Hudgens saying, "I'm so into Voguing right now," you know, things like that. And overall, I think it's been a really fun season. This is the first season in a long time that I'm enjoying watching on a week-to-week basis. And that has been tough to say for the last few seasons. And so I'm happy with it. And I will say this, I know everybody loved Mirage, and I know everybody was so upset, and the youngins all fucking wanted to revolt. But as Trixie has said on the pit stop, as other people have said on other Drag Race things, you get a fucking iPod with all of the fucking songs. Mm-hmm. Them. I know that on the design days, you're going to be doing stuff in your room. Listen to it then. I know on the choreography days, when you're learning that, you're listening to the music. So that's a little different. But outside of that, you have so much time. Listen to every fucking song. Learn every fucking word. You never know when you're going to be lip syncing for the loss or for the win. Just learn the words. That's it. All right. So before we wrap this up, we'll talk more after the season is over. We'll share any other thoughts that maybe we haven't touched on. And if you have a favorite thing from the first half of the season, let us know in the comments. But before we wrap it up, let's give our top two. Who do we think will be the top two queens of this season? We want to see win the crown, or maybe just think we'll be in the top two, even if we don't like them. Brian, I'll throw it to you since you ceded your time earlier.
I love pretty much every queen on there that's remaining except for Plain. So let me just hit them up real quick. So I love Morphine. I think she's super cute. I think she's about 2 seconds away from coming out as trans, but that's fine. I mean, maybe not, but oh my God.
Did she say she's not?
The non-binary one. Okay, that makes way more sense, because we're sitting like, oh my God. I mean, anyway, but gorgeous, beautiful, love her. Her makeup skills are crazy. Mm-hmm. I love Saphira. I think she is mother. I really think of all the queens across all the things, I think she probably deserves the win the most. But she's not my favorite, but she's earned it and then some. I just think she's fantastic. Love Q, love her design choices, personality. She's awkward, but whatever. It's Kansas City. That's how they do things. I don't know. It's all that barbecue. What else? Let's see. We got Nymphia. Love Nymphia. I think she's cuckoo bananas, literally. I appreciate her commitment to her brand, but I mean, obviously we don't want to keep seeing too many banana redos. And so I think they were about to call her on that in this last episode. And I'm kind of glad she got the immunity, because otherwise I feel like that would have maybe sent her home. But I do love her drag. I love her Asian influence, or, you know, bring Asian culture. And of course, love that. Who am I missing? Maya's good. I think she's growing on me. Obviously really respect her flipping and all this stuff. And I love the fact she's Florida queen. I don't know that she's always successful, but I think she's on the sort of jinx path, if they're doing that, where she's kind of building and growing stronger. And that's always interesting. Okay, I know I got Dawn left. Who am I missing? I feel like I'm missing somebody big. Did I say Q?
It's just Dawn and Plain.
Okay, perfect. So fuck Plain. Dawn. I know
you're not Tsunami Muse, who wants to fuck Plain Jade. Please stop.
Oh no. I forgot about Tsunami. And actually, I didn't even talk about the queens that are not there anymore. So, you know, a little spoiler. We already said spoilers. But none of the queens that have been cut already was I like, oh, my God, no. I do like a mandatory meeting. Again, not terribly shocked she came out as trans, but also just great. Good for her. I think she's really good. And I wish she had been around a little longer. But I also know her drag was rough. So I get it. Tsunami and Mirage was actually fun, but again, agreed about the other thing. But Tsunami, I didn't love her as much. She was fine. I think she lasted longer than she probably should have. But Dawn is my favorite. I think she embodies the kind of drag that I like, that I'm into. It's a personal preference. I also like that she's smart, and it's not that she's coming off not over intelligent. She's got a pedigree of drag though, like Sasha Velour, like. I don't know. I don't want to say Ben and Jinx because they're kind of their own thing, but just something that appeals to me in that it's drag from a completely like alternate dimension, and that's my drag. I mean, if you know about Leona Theremin, my drag alter ego, like it's weird shit like that gets me going. So I know she's not going to win. I hope she's in the top three. I think she could very well be in the top three, but I don't know, maybe anyway, all that to say. She's really good. I love every one of her looks. I think it's interesting. I think it's pretty polished. And I also like her makeup. Her makeup is nothing like I've seen. And, you know, it's got elements of things like, you know, maybe Kim Chi or Trixie or whatever, a different way they paint the crease and some of the eye stuff. But I mean, I just think it's interesting. So, yeah, I think that's top two, I guess, Dawn and oh, God, it's Dawn and it's impossible. I'll say Saphira just because she's so good.
Thank you, Lux Noir London. We appreciate your distribution. That's all I could think during the whole thing. Like, I knew you were going to do it. All I could think about was Lux going down the line.
It's the antithesis, though. I, like, said so many good things.
And then fuck Lane
Jane. Did too. She was only mean to one person.
Oh, is that what it was? Oh, right.
Yeah. You're right. This person God, I am is Lux. Amazing. This person is amazing. Let me tell you why I hate Lucy Laduca.
Oh, she's God. Trash, and I hope she dies.
I have become Lux. Oh, wow.
Some days you live to see yourself turn into Lux Noir London. Or become the actual villain of season 16. Who knew? All right, Eric, I'll throw it to you. Who are your top two? Who do you think is going to take it to the top and snatch the crown, Mama Roo?
I want my top two to be Saphira and Nymphia. Who do I think the top two will be? I think the top two will be Saphira and Plain. Again, my personal preference would be for Nymphia over Plain, but I think that Plain is connecting well with RuPaul in a way that will get her to the top two. And again, Plain is very talented. I just don't like her personality. My dislike of her personality has nothing to do with how she's going to perform in challenges and work out the season. I think that probably the other person in the top four, I would want to be Dawn. I like her kooky drag, like Brian was saying. It appeals a lot to my sci-fi fantasy kind of preferences. So yeah, and I'll go ahead and fully go down the rest because you know what? Why not? I think Morphine is beautiful. I'm so glad she's Trixie's daughter. But she performed amazing in this last episode. She was deserving top two placement, I feel like, in that episode. But looking at her whole season package, I don't think she's going to make the finale. Maya, she is one hell of a performer. I just don't think she's good at Drag Race. But she is an amazing performer. And then Q, I think it's, like you've said, her costuming is incredible. And she has been performing better in the challenges than Dawn, but I don't know. I feel like she'll be like that fifth place person. The one that just doesn't make the top four. But yeah, Saphira and Nymphia are who I want to be the top two.
Okay. I agree with you on the top two, three. I want Saphira to win. I want Nymphia to win. I think Plain Jane will be top four, depending on how they do the finale. If it's performance-based, Plain Jane could be in the top two, lip sync performance-wise. But I want to see either Saphira or Nymphia snatch the crown, Mama Ru. But yeah, that's it. I don't see Morphine, Maya, or Dawn making top four. Personally, I just don't see it happening. Dawn doesn't have the wins. Maya has all of the loss or all of the bottom placements. And Morphine doesn't have the wins either. Q, Plain Jane, Nymphia, and Saphira deserve their spots in the top four, in my opinion. But yeah, let us know what you think, dear listeners. Who are your top two? And who do you think will snatch the crown? And we will definitely be back for a final recap of season 16 after the season is over. Keep letting us know what you want to hear, because when you tell us, it gives us the opportunity to give you what you want. And that's what we love to do here at Flame On. Check out our website at flameonshow.com, and we'll see you next time. Bye, bitches.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.